54-50. Harry! Can't take the mark. Ground level. Chance. Lays off the handball to Chera. Chera!
Yeah.
What a kick! Oh, what a Chera! It's a bloody magnificent goal! It is right out of the top shot. Bounce. Bounce. Oh. Keep it alive. Don't let it out. Don't let it out. Don't let it out. Coming in the market. Newey. Nicky Newman. You bloody beauty. And there it is. They won it. You beauty. The Blues have done it.
Hey.
Count the hearts are full. And September is baby blue.
G'day everybody, welcome to the Carlton Show for another week, which is lovely to say, for another week. We survived what was a very, very tense elimination final on Friday night at the MCG. We're back in September, we win a final and we've got another one to fight out on Friday night against a desperate, desperate opponent. A bit to talk about looking backwards and a bit to talk about looking forwards. Baz, nice to be here again.
Yes, Andy, Gex, what a wonderful win it was. And we always start off with something a little bit more different to other shows. And I suppose we just bang off with it now. Woo! And Andy took the headphones off because it comes careering through his eardrums.
Yeah, that'll blow.
Noodle went through to 11 there.
Gex, you go first. Oh. Give us the nutshell thoughts about what took place at the G.
You know, I could get used to this. I really could. It's good fun. And I've forgotten what it feels like to have fun in a big game of football. So we were all smiling at the end of the night, and that was such a difference to 12 months ago. Very, very happy with the way things turned out, although it wasn't all plain sailing.
Never
is. It was a bit of a bumpy ride in that last quarter. I think we were outscored overall scoring shots, but they kicked 2-5 in the last quarter, thank God. And a bit straight, it might have been a bit scary. But the boys definitely stood up, played some big moments when it counted, and probably did enough on the night to say we were the better side, I thought.
Give us your nutshell thoughts, Bagsy, before we dive into the bits and pieces.
Well, first of all, big shout out to one of our my mate, lifelong mate, and you guys know him, Gan. She got all the tickets for us in a row. There was 10 of us. It was fantastic to sit with the crew again. Andy, you were missing, of course, for obvious reasons. But it was nice to be sitting next to the great man next to me, the Gek man again. I haven't sat with him next to at the footy for many, many years. And let me just say, he's lost nothing.
How long into the first quarter until the umpires were copping in here?
They copped a fair shellacking throughout the match.
Nice, yep.
I noticed, though, like, Gekko used to, I think in our heydays he might have dropped the F-bomb a fair bit. But he uses the word dickhead
right
now. And he used that word many, many times throughout the night. You're a dickhead.
That's right. Right?
So everyone was a dickhead on the night. But he got a few laughs and it was good. But look, like Echo said, you know, you turn the clock back 12 months and it was, you know, there was tears of anguish and sorrow and all the rest of it. This year it was like, one thing I do is I sit back and I just look, and I'm looking at everyone enjoying themselves, the joy, the smiles, young kids, you know, who've seen absolutely nothing of this club, dead set nothing of this club. In actual fact, all they know about this club is misery, virtually. And I think hark back to about 5 or so years, boys, when I told a story on the podcast about a fella I knew who texted me during the week and said his kids were going to school on Friday, and it was one of those wear your jumper you know, days.
Yep.
And I'm not sure if you recall this story or not, but his kids refused to wear the Carlton jumper because they were getting picked on week after week after week. Now, that we're fathers, and that kills you. But those same kids, I would imagine, you know, 5, 6 years on, they're probably 12, 13, 14 years old. I'd imagine right now they're so proud of their club, proud of their players, proud of the coaches, proud of everything, that it just makes it all that more comforting, I suppose, that now we can see this club turning, and they're turning for the right reasons. They've got it all in front of them. The actual game itself, look, yeah, we got away to a beaming start. I mean, we kicked the first two in the first, what, couple of minutes? And anyone who was around in 82, that famous Carlton Richmond grand final, I think it was Dominator and Harms kicked the first two in the first couple of minutes. It was really eerie feeling. Like, I just thought, like, geez, how good's this? But could we keep it up? Well, we go into halftime 5 goals up. Now, they start launching at us in that third quarter, and we're all like, oh, gee, you know, what's going on here? But then we challenged them again, and we hit that scoreboard again and got back out to, I think when Cripps kicked that goal, got back out to 28 points.
Yeah, about that, yep.
So I honestly, if I'm honest, I thought we'd shut the gate. I felt it was shut the gate job. I thought we'd win, you know, reasonably comfortably from that point onwards.
Yep.
And again, the last quarter just it fell away. Mm. It fell away. And
I think we got so the last quarter. If it's a study in psychology, it looked like a team that just wanted that game to be over. Just get me to the final siren.
Our boys.
Our team.
Okay.
Not because we were out of gas or running on heavy legs or any of that stuff. They were just as spent as we were, or not. Whatever. There was no differential there, but I think we saw it. We could see the actuality that, shit, we're going to win a final here. And
so blow the siren.
There's just get it done. And sometimes when you go into that survival mode, just, I don't want to lose it. I think we stopped playing a bit. Mm. I think we went safe. There was a lot of down the line. There was a lot of the kick-ins lacked a bit of imagination. I think we just went in. So my hope is that monkey is off the back to a degree. So there's steps along the way. Last year we fell over the last 2 weeks of the season, didn't get in. This year we get in and we put ourselves in a position to win the game, and then they come at us and we play a bit conservative and a bit safe and probably a bit nervous, I reckon. I think the group was probably a bit nervous, and there were moments in that last quarter that, you know, the Acres kick and chase, there was some unbelievable, the deconing hand and stretch and to get it, to keep it in there. And there are a couple of really great moments, I reckon, in that last quarter. But I think by and large, we were looking for the final siren just to get it done, put her in the book, because we are still maybe just in the back of our head somewhere. There's a little bit of, you know, we're a bit uncertain in this space. We're a bit uncertain at this time of the season. Most of our blokes haven't been there before. So my hope is that they take it. An enormous amount out of that, and they feel a bit freer going into next week, and hopefully that manifests itself in the way we play our footy. Not sure it works that way. They're a tougher opponent. Melbourne certainly in better nick than Sydney, you know, going into the finals, but, you know, hopefully.
Well, it's an interesting take. I really hadn't sort of thought of it that way, but the way you describe it, I'm sort of thinking back to that last quarter, or parts of it. And I can see what you're saying. And actually, I can see now what you're saying. But I wasn't necessarily thinking it at the time.
Mm.
But now I can actually see what you're saying at the moment. Mm. Yeah, that's.
I think the situations create the mental state of what is going through the players' heads. So, I mean, Sydney came at us pretty early on in that last quarter, but. If you watch that last quarter, the first 5 or 10 minutes, we were dump kicking, and they were senior players. You know, Wiedering initially, Saad,
McGovern.
Yeah, you know, they dump kicked, and they were all TOs. And we've seen this over and over again, which it frustrates me to think that it's not hard coded in their heads not to do that. I mean, just to hold the ball a very, very split second longer and see something, whether it's a handball or a chip kick wide, it's a much better thing to do than to just don't dump kick or kick off the ground. Never kick off the ground in scrimmage situations. It's never works. So that created a bit of a fizz in the air, but then they overcompensated. Wiedering was the first one to calm the farm. He actually took an intercept mark, and then he just sort of stopped and then he went short 20, 30 metres. And he did that, I think, twice in about 5 minutes just to set the sort of platform. But that overcompensated them because they thought, oh, we've got to slow everything right down.
Yeah, exactly.
And then it became line kicks down the line and every one of those become a turnover.
Yep.
So you've got to find that balance where you're in possession, but you've got to work hard in possession to make a receiving position, you know.
Yeah, those, I agree. Players
further up the ground have to work hard to create an option for that player. Otherwise, they've got no other choice.
So I wonder whether what we think as a group was one of our strengths was create stoppage, get a ball up, get numbers around, and let's go again. Stoppage.
But it was too early in the quarter.
Of course it was.
That.
So the long kicks are bit of that, I reckon. Mm. Dump it down the line, get numbers around the ball, bring it to ground, stoppage, let's go again.
It is a fail-safe.
It is, but you can't keep doing
it. You can't do it too early because the opposition know what's going to happen and then they'll just play
to
it.
They can smell it. I think a lot of the Swans blokes were just picking them off.
Well, they knew. They could smell it, mate.
It was McLean or McCartan, though. They I don't know how many marks they took, but it was countless.
Those two played out.
They dominated.
I looked at some of the stats to see if there was anything one way or the other. Wasn't a huge discrepancy in many of the stats. I mean, contested ball was 26 our way, which is our game. Yep. That's what we pride ourselves on. The tackles, the hit-outs, everything else was pretty close, generally speaking. The marks, uncontested marks, they had 25 more than us.
Well, that's what Gecko's talking about. Run to receive, create space, take the kick.
Yeah.
Take the easy kick.
So we're minus 25 in that capacity. So that's something that they certainly got on top of us. Inside 50s were 56 our way, but we only had 19 shots at goal, which is only a 33% efficiency rate, which is pretty low. The way we've been playing over the last 9 weeks, that's actually quite low. They only got it in 46 times and had 13 shots. Mm. So that's 50%. So one in every two that were going in, they were getting a score. Mm. And I don't think I don't think our coaching group would be too happy about that as a collective. In terms of team defence, that's rather high. And that could have been quite disastrous. and again, the gods are smiling on us a little bit.
Yeah. So one thing we do, I think we're good at, and maybe it's a bit of good management and skill and talent from the individuals, but perhaps it's also a bit of good luck at times with opposition teams not hitting the score. But by the way, we were the agents of our demise when we played them earlier in the year. We were peppering away and couldn't kick straight against them. So, you know, there's a bit of what goes around comes around sort of thing in footy every now and again. I just forgot there was a point I was going to make apropos of something you were saying then.
Forward line efficiency?
No, it doesn't matter. Keep going.
It's interesting.
It happens sometimes, doesn't it?
I'm always critical about the way we set up our forward line and have movement inside 50. And we centralise too often. We centralise all our plays to specific places too often, which allows the opposition to read us like a book.
For a while that wasn't happening, though, the other night. In the second quarter, I reckon we stopped going to the obvious targets and started lowering the vision a bit. And we looked, you know, that's when we bounced out to that 5-goal lead at halftime. And at that stage, I must admit, I felt uneasily comfortable.
Yeah,
I thought,
me too.
I thought, oh, we're going all right here. We've got this right where we want it.
The stats were that I think Sydney's, it was either the third or the last, almost worse than the comp. So I was feeling very confident. Well, how that turns sour, didn't it? Look, there's lots of moments in the game from the first quarter to the last, but one specific fella who probably, I don't even know if he was in my best 23 at the start of the year. He had a fantastic start to this game, Matty Cottrell.
Super.
What a start to this game. He ran, he ended up running about 17 Ks for the game, and he was most for both sides. But just some of his moments, you know, early on when I think he received two handballs, went down the wing. I'm not sure if it resulted in the goal or not, but he had a big tackle in the third, like a massive tackle in the third quarter where they were out, and he put on a massive tackle. And then that goal he kicked created from a poor handball from a Sydney defender, and Cottrell went in to get it and then swung around on his left. You know, for him personally, oh, I'm so happy for a bloke like him. Yep. I don't know how much talent he has or has ever had. He was a rookie.
Mm-hmm.
He was picked up as a rookie. Here he is playing in a final. Like I said, I don't know what, you know, what the outside noise is with Cots, but internally they seem to have a fair bit of faith in him.
I think he's worked his way into the respect of the entire club. And, you know, we're a club suddenly that's rich with wingers. Like, we could have played Ollie Hollins if we wanted to. But Matt Cottrell's got him out of the team at the moment. Mm.
Well, because he starts half forward and then pushes up.
Mm.
And Akers does a lot of defending from his role. And, well, Doc had the wing position most of the night, I think, with, I think he was following Goulden.
Goulden was superstar.
Yeah. So, I mean, they found another role for him.
Mm.
It's still a running role.
He does get up and back. I mean, to say he's half forward flanker would
be... No. Yeah. That's his starting position, 6-6-6.
That's right.
And then he just becomes this havoc player who just goes up and down, up and down, up and down.
Yep.
Like, there's no positions, as we know. Mm-hmm. But we found him at, I guess, where he used to be that wing role, he was that wing role, starting position, he's now that almost that third winger that just goes up and back. So I think it's been a good coaching find, whoever has come up with this. Look, other moments, you know, Akers.
Amazing.
Akers. I mean, twice stuck a hand up to get a fingernail on
it. His individual game, it's different to Judd's game in the last final, but it was as equal as important.
In terms of impact. Oh,
like
massive.
It was one of the most incredible individual finals performances I have seen.
His last quarter was enormous.
He works his ass off and he's built for finals. Like, he's actually big, strong. I must admit, maybe because you watch him a bit closer when they're wearing your jumper, but he plays with a physicality. He's not brutal. He's not like Darren Mullane. But he's built like Mullane was back in that day. And he has the same sort of long stride power. Like, he has power. He doesn't look like he's going that hard, that fast. But he can break tackles.
He drives.
That kick across the square, he came from, and he must have been busting a gut by that stage.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
But he came from 30 metres behind those Sydney blokes to square a 2v1. And that's the sort of stuff, I guarantee you, they're showing that in the wash-up.
Absolutely. You'd have to agree, he was grimacing in that, I don't know when this started, but I've watched the replay plenty of times.
He reckons he's okay.
Yeah. Well, it doesn't look it. I mean, the way he's playing, yes.
Yeah.
The way you look at him, you know, when he tackles or when he's been tackled or, you know, if he falls, you'd swear blind that it's obviously hurting. And I would imagine it is hurting. But his tenacity to push through something like that.
Yeah, big.
Massive.
Big.
Massive.
Really big.
Walsh's effort.
Yep.
I think he ran about 50, 60 metres to spoil right in front of us, Gex.
In the pocket. It was amazing.
And Gex said, the good thing about that was he didn't give the free kick away.
Easily chop the arms when you're doing that.
He's very disciplined.
Yeah.
Not much contact.
Well, if you're going to, are we doing the shout outs for individuals here? Because
absolutely.
I just want to give Caleb Marchbank a massive shout out. I would have thought I was picking my team like we all were.
Was he in yours?
No, I had him out. So I had Motlop coming in. I thought Marchie was going to be the one that goes out. But they clearly, it was, and he was a bit higher up the ground. I'm not really sure what his particular role was, but he started about 40 metres out from goal and would push up to about the centre line. And he did a lot of work in that sort of 40 to 95, 100 metres out from goal. And
we do like pressing.
Well, we do, but he's got,
because they rate him for his intelligence and making good decisions.
Good.
They know, like, when you're in that in-between, should I go to that contest in front of me or should I suck back to my man or whatever?
Yeah.
I've heard teammates say...
They love playing with him.
They they just rate his intelligence. I think it was Wiedering.
Yeah, I've heard Wiedering talk about him.
But, yeah, look, you could see it.
Yeah.
Because he made lots of really good decisions and impacted lots of play in his half of the ground.
He did. So. He did. They were important hands on balls and not necessarily stuff you get stats for, but he had a lot of kind of little involvements in the game that when you add them all up, they're pretty big.
It's interesting, isn't it? And this is the best part of finals because it sort of sifts a lot of the personality types out. You know, some guys like to hide in the shadows a little bit not sort of commit themselves to stuff that they don't think they're capable of. And other guys thrive in that moment and just want to be in the, you know, in every play that they can sort of involve themselves in. So, you know, guys like a Marchbank. I knew Akers would because I've seen it often enough. Akers is one of these guys that just thrives on the moment,
and
especially
Freo,
in the last stages of games.
Yeah.
But Marchbank, we could go through a few, but I'm not.
I really like Marchbank's game. I think, again, you know, that's another tick for the coaching staff. I don't think they get enough credit, to be honest with you.
It would have been a hard team to pick, I reckon, this week. There would have been a lot of back and forth in.
And I'm sure there was a lot of people out here thinking, oh, you know, we've gone too tall down back and all that sort of stuff that people get a lot, they get very worried about. But I think all our defenders are quite mobile.
Mm.
They're not like big, cumbersome.
No, that's true. You know,
they are mobile. Kemp had some good moments. He had one. You know, one he'd like to probably
lost,
take back.
Deer in the headlights
a bit.
Yep,
it happens, you know. But
his game was terrific.
I thought it was, Wiedering, as honest as always. But I think when you look at someone like Marchbank, from where he's been, what he's had to go through, you know, that's his first, as a lot of these players are playing their first final. But for him to, you know, come back into the side, I'm not exactly sure how many games he's played now since he's come back. Oh, I don't know what it would be, actually. Probably 3 or 4, something like that.
Okay, go on, I'll look it up for you.
Just in recent times.
Yeah, since he's come back into the side.
Yeah. Well, but to perform in a big final and, you know, take on a side who last year played in the grand final, they're no chumps. They are no chumps. I know their form wasn't great going into this finals campaign.
That was his sixth game back. Came back in round 20.
Right.
And Continuity, but
Andy, I think he was
when you have a good run at it.
Andy, I think he was a sub once or twice.
Yeah, well, these are games that he's been in the team.
Yeah,
there's a dull sub thing. You're either in the team or you're not, right?
Well, absolutely, yeah.
So he's been in since round 20.
Well, I take my hat off to him. I mean, it wasn't an inclusion of mine, but you know what? Oh, I'm glad he played. Absolutely glad he played.
He might have a big. We'll talk about, you know, this week in a moment.
That Akers goal in the last, our only goal, by the way.
Yep.
Tom DeConnie was great.
Enormous.
In that contest.
Enormous.
That contest was
Tommy's
massive.
Another one that's starting to show those characteristics of being there in the big stages.
Couldn't agree with you more.
He looks as if he could actually take a game and really open it up a little bit.
He's not scared, is he?
No. He wants it. He wants it in his hands.
He's got that.
Yep.
Can't find the right adjective right now, but
I don't think he had a shot at goal. But probably that's what we're looking at against Melbourne. It'd be nice for him to take a shot or two. But
we might have. We might need him to.
Yeah, we might need. Yeah. Gecko's we'll got to a theory on that later on. We talked about the. Yeah, but I thought his game was of all the big men in the ruck, Pitternet, he was okay. Yeah, he was okay. I didn't think Hickey was anything special.
He got on a roll for about 30 minutes, I reckon, Hickey, where he got over the top of us a bit and went probably in the third quarter. When they didn't put it on the board. So
Clearly McLean was one of their big blokes who just had he killed us.
I would have thought that, I reckon.
But I'm glad McLean wasn't taking marks inside 50.
No, spot on. I reckon.
So they probably just, you know, whatever.
This is, so you look for positives out of, obviously the win is enormous. I reckon they've probably had 6 of the best 10 players on the ground, maybe 7 of the best 11 players on the ground across the game. I reckon they had more good players than we did. We had blokes who stepped up when their moments were required. But I reckon on the scale of four-quarter productivity, they probably had more better players than us on the night, and a couple of our key players. Like Cripps was serviceable, but he wasn't dominant. I think Mills probably shadowed him on the night.
I think he's carrying a few bits and pieces.
I don't know. I reckon you'd be still wearing the mattress. Yeah, I reckon you'd be doing Mills a discredit. You step out, he wants to be taken.
He doesn't want any, and
Cripps doesn't want excuses, so I'm not going to give him any. Mills just beat him marginally on the night.
I thought Cripps' second half was good.
He was still really serviceable.
He still contributes, of course.
I'm not saying that either.
But he's got room to improve. And Harry's a story for another time, or maybe he's a story for tonight.
Another time.
But Charlie again had some moments, but he was beaten on the night. McCartan beat him comfortably on the night.
If you determine his game.
And our smalls really didn't do much.
He was pretty quiet.
Fogarty did some nice things, some nice clean-handed stuff.
Eight tackles, that's what he does.
But you'd like to see them all be having shots. Yeah. I want to see him having shots. I want to see him, crumbing balls, snapping out over the top of their shoulders. There was not a lot of that.
Well, like I said, we've only had 19 shots at goal, which is really low to win a game of footy. Charlie was definitely if you look at his game generally, he averages 3+ goals a game. Well, he only kicked the one, and he might have only had the one shot at goal. Is that right?
It could be right. I'm not potting him. I'm just saying, looking at him and Cripps,
he had to step up in the last quarter and take some big marks.
He had some big plays in the last quarter.
But we want him to kick goals, obviously, right? But if he's not kicking them, do something else.
Absolutely,
create them.
Yep.
And I think probably he didn't necessarily create enough goals that we would have liked. So he was definitely down. So quiet players and with upside, you know, Cripps, Doc. Doc was okay.
Okay, he was all right.
He was okay.
They all had their moments.
But I think what we're saying is that I think we've got some upside here.
Yeah, that's exactly what I'm saying. Yeah. And finals are hard. Finals are tough, right? They're knockout finals. You don't just step out there and just run amok and, you know, play
Dave Cunningham, I mean, his second quarter was good, but other than that.
It depends what you kind of expect from. What do you expect from Cunningham? What do you want him to do? So he kicked a crucial goal. I reckon he had some. When he was required to be in there, he had some really clean-handed moments.
In the middle, you're saying?
Whenever he was required to be in there, in the heat and in the contest. Again, Dave Cunningham is – I would love him to be the Dave Cunningham we saw that night 5 years ago against Essendon when he had 30 and dominated.
He's not flying aerobically because I think he hasn't had a pre-season. He came in halfway through the year. I reckon he's hit a bit of a wall.
Maybe.
And he's managing himself through the season.
Maybe.
So what we're trying to extract from him is – And this is an extreme version, but a Cyril Rioli type of player where he can either impact in the forward half and create something or kick a couple himself. And that's precious. That's precious sort of cargo if we can get something that hits the scoreboard out of him. So that's all we really can expect.
I'm not talking about him as in, you know, does he need to be dropped? I'm not saying that. I believe we need to see a little bit more. I would like to see him stay in the game a little bit more. Obviously, that's not the player he is. He's an impact player, purely an impact player. But I'm just hoping that he can get off the chain a little bit more. That's all I'm hoping for.
Yeah, I'd love them all to. Yeah, you know, like I'd love them all to be doing a bit more. You know, all of them.
That goal he kicked, I mean, it was just one goal, but that goal he kicked was a big goal.
Yeah, well, he had the similar shot from the other side, which he.
Pulled. Yeah, missed.
But that was just before halftime. Yeah, it was a pivotal goal.
It was a big kick. So.
And again, so, yeah, I can – Martin, you know, Martin – we haven't spoken about Martin. I thought his game was
– gigantic.
It was.
Gigantic.
Well, he probably only had 12 touches.
Gigantic.
But, you know, he's another one.
We're going to miss him. So, I mean, he's going to
– He will definitely
hard
get –
Hard to replace.
So there's no doubt in anyone's mind he
deserves a week. He deserves
no,
a
week, two.
Absolutely.
I know, but it, so we'll appeal it and we'll try and get it knocked down to one.
Do you think they'll try for the low impact and try to get zero?
No. Well, they might, but they've got no hope.
They've got no hope.
You can't because the bloke went off for a concussion test. So the minute you go off and have a concussion test, it can't be graded lower than medium. That's off the table.
So it's either a week or two.
They're trying to get it down to medium and get it down to a week. So that's the best we can hope for.
It's disappointing. It was a silly moment.
It was. You know? And he might not have been intending to do that. But the minute you the round arm.
And a connector.
If that happened to one of our blokes, we'd be filthy.
Yeah, of course. Yeah,
so let's be fair, Nickum, about it. Yeah, the round arm into an opposition.
No.
And I love him. I absolutely love the bloke.
No.
And he went down back and took those big marks late. Got a bit spooked there for one of them when the umpire sort of called play on, and no one knew what was going on for a second, and that led to the McLean goal, didn't it? It came back over his head.
So do you think he would have been told to go down, or you think that's just an instruction?
Yeah, I was interested in
that. What do you think about that?
We haven't seen him do that before, have we? No.
It's usually
Charlie. Well, it was Charlie up at the Gold Coast, wasn't it?
Yeah, he went. He's done it a few times.
Yeah.
I don't know why Martin did it, but thank God he did.
Yeah.
You know, and we're going to miss him this week. But they've got a couple of key outs. We've got a couple of key outs. I mean, the Harry misses were just, the first one was just, he did all the hard work. The easiest thing was to kick the goal.
Sprinted away from his player.
Did all the hard work.
Just
easiest things to kick that goal. It's harder to miss it from there.
Oh, I said to Gekko before set shot, if you have 100 of those, you kick 99. Most will kick 100.
And the 100 set shot, you're talking about feeling, you know, it's home and host or shut the gate.
If he
kicks that goal, it's all over.
That might have been
it. We're out to six. Yep. It is all over.
That could well have been.
And that gives them a sniff.
Goodnight the Fox.
So he's got to sort that out. It's just we've got him locked up till 2030 on big money.
I want to open up on the subject, but I don't want to. Right, I don't think it's the right time now to do that.
Yeah, no, he's just got to. But we all know he's got to work it. He's got to work it out. He's got to work it out.
For me, it's up to him to put his hand up and say, "I've got a problem," and from there you can do something about it. But if he's going to kid himself and say, "I'm just papering over the cracks," I'll be right.
But who knows? He's not. Do we know that he's not?
No, but it's a technical flaw.
Yeah, I know. But right? I know
that's what he has to admit. Mm. I have a technical flaw, not a mental one. A technical flaw that can be fixed. Once you admit that, you can do something about it. But until he does, we're stuck with who he is. That's my opinion, spoken and authorised by him.
Well, Gex, the,
I'm not
no,
100%
the first
sure
one,
that's
the first
true.
One, the running to the open goal, that's not technical.
Yes, it is.
Tell me why. Tell me.
It's the same thing every time. His foot goes from left to right like a duck hook driver golfer. And that's the problem. It's been that problem for 4 or 5 years.
How did you fix your swing, by the way?
He never did.
Okay.
You need to redesign your swing so it's not doing that anymore.
We don't have to do it now.
I don't see the technical part there.
You dragged me into what I didn't want to do.
No, it's fine.
No, we're all frustrated because
everyone's frustrated.
I'm sure he is too.
Part of the reason why we were that far in front was because of him.
I thought he was working his way into the game nicely.
I thought he was going okay.
Yeah. I thought he was working his game. Yep.
He had seven.
He gave away the first two goals.
I thought he was two goal assists, seven
score involvements.
Yep.
And he should have had two goals on the board.
Yep.
We all know that. So, I mean, he doesn't get the chance now to play this week. Hopefully he might get a chance the following week. But
then there's a trust factor, isn't there? That's the problem
But Gex, you know, when he went off the ground, that was three-quarter time, wasn't it? Or a little bit before three-quarter time. When did we make the sub three-quarter time? So it wouldn't have been far. Andy's talked about us sort of freezing up a little bit. You talked about the big dump kicks. With Harry on the ground, he was going to make a contest down forward.
Contest's not good enough.
I'll cop the contest.
You've got to clunk your marks
I'll cop the contest, right? If you're talking about McCartan and McLean.
It's a turnover. 3 years ago,
was it a turnover?
He was the highest contested mark in the competition. He was the best.
Yep.
But he hasn't been since recent times.
But I'm talking about trying to hold the ball in our forward line for 5 minutes, which we couldn't do.
You've
got to
take
last
the mark.
Quarter.
Well, otherwise, it's useless.
Well, if the ball comes to ground, you're hoping that blokes
that's what
pile
happened.
In.
That's what happened. The ball came to ground, and the opposition turned it over. That's what happened last week.
Well, I think they were taking clunk marks
until
and
Charlie
then,
took
I think
his
Sydney
marks.
Were taking marks.
Well, McLean and McCartan were.
They were. Yeah. I'm talking about last quarter only, by the way.
Yeah.
Anyway, and I just think that if he was there,
Maybe they're not taking those marks.
Maybe
those
not. Two.
Fair point. Yeah. I will accept that.
Yeah. Maybe not.
He does get to those contests. he does hit those, you know, the outlet kick contest pretty hard. I mean, he does come from a long way back to be part of those. I agree with you. He doesn't take many of those marks, but maybe they're not taking as many if he's still there. Because
you know, that's kind of yeah.
But at the end of the day, like, we were dead set paddling.
Yeah.
We're drowning, we're sinking in that last quarter.
But that style of play mentality too, I think that's more about that than... We were giving the opposition a transparency of what we were going to do.
Chopping off everything. Yeah. I watched the replay and I thought, geez, you know, like, what was that kick? Mm. What was that kick?
Yeah, yeah.
But when you do have the tools up there, let's say it was Charlie. Let's say it was Charlie, Tom DeConnie. But Charlie was the one popping it in there because he was coming up on the wings taking marks.
Yeah.
But then looks up and he had nothing. I saw Owies and Modlop put their hands up.
Yeah.
Well, they ain't kicking to them.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah.
So it all fell away. But not having Harry, I'm not sitting here sticking up for him because the two goals, unforgivable. We understand that. And you're right, Kex. You know, he's got to rectify whatever it's in his mind, whatever his technical faults are to line up and shoot at goal. You know, you're professional, get it sorted, let's get on with it, right? But a lot of it is confidence.
Yeah.
A lot of it's confidence. Yeah. I know, you know, from experience many, many moons ago, you know, sometimes you know you're on, you kick one out your ass. Well, you can. You can.
Yeah.
And then you'll ping them from everywhere and they go through.
Yeah.
Other times, you know, no matter what you do, you're missing him.
Mm.
And you feel for the bloke, but I understand that he's got some work to do over the summer. And you're right, whoever said we've got him for the next 6 or 7 years, that's a fact, Jack.
Mm-hmm. So that's got to be sorted out.
Sure.
So there's two out. Mackay's out, Martin's out. Have you guys worked out
what
you
want to
do? Go on then.
I like his theory. Mine was a very knee-jerk reaction theory. Mine was, you know, you bring Soss in for Harry, you bring Motlop in for Martin, and you sub Dow, right? Just knee-jerk.
It could happen.
Oh, yeah.
It could happen.
But I don't mind what Gex has come up
with. Right, well, let's go.
All right, well,
we haven't heard it yet.
This is only
heard
my
it.
Opinion.
We haven't heard
oh,
it.
No, I haven't
so
heard
well,
it.
Who else is probably not here? Worth a piece
well,
of
that's
shit.
What we do here, mate.
It can happen, Gex.
All right.
And I don't mind it.
I would be assigning Brody Kemp to Lever this week. I would say, young man, you have an assignment this week. You're playing as a defensive forward. You play off the back of Lever's shoulder. You follow him wherever he goes. Mm. You are an athletic human being who is probably more athletic than your opponent, and I'll back you to probably either halve the contest or beat him in the air if you get the opportunity. And he could play that Dyden role that we sort of came up with many moons ago. I'm not saying he's going to hit the scoreboard, but I think he's the sort of guy, he's an exciting athletic type who could actually give us some impact in that,
yeah,
in that
well,
role.
So
what it does, Andy, the flow on of what Gecko is saying, it gives us options because then I think you still agreed that Motlop comes in for Martin.
Motlop's a certainty.
But then it gives us, because we haven't replaced Harry yet, you can replace him with either a Hollins, a Dow. I think Gex is leaning towards Dow. And Dow's a good one because I thought our centre clearance work sort of fizzed out a little bit.
Mm.
And I think in the last, you know, in the second half of a game, Dow can become extremely important if managed properly. So that's where it just opens up the floor a little bit to who actually can come into the team
rather than
what I've said. Yeah. If they go down the path of what I've said, you're very restrictive.
Well, Jack can play that role. There's no doubt Silvani could play that role. The only thing I'd be worried about is can he get through?
Well, that's why.
Is he going to be able to get through?
I've totally ruled him out. Yeah,
enough of the game
Even
time.
If he puts his hand up, yep. You just can't play.
So you can't
so you
have
put
him,
a, like so if that. You put the pen through him because you don't think he's going to get through
I'm
a final.
I'm not putting the pen through
him.
I'm just saying
if they don't think, shift the magnet.
Yeah, I was Marchbank. I had exactly the
you
same.
Said Marchbank. I was Marchbank. And I said McGovern. So we've all
I was Marchbank.
We've all picked one player
because Kemp's
out.
Been.
Marchbank's not going to kick the goal.
Doesn't
when he
matter.
Gets
I don't
chance.
Care. I don't care.
But
it
that's
doesn't
what
matter.
You need. You, no, need, no. you need to hurt them.
Yeah, I
when
know.
You get
I know.
Your chance.
I know. But the point the McGovern, Kemp, Wietering have been the three. They've been our three all year.
Hmm.
So don't stuff that up. Don't jolt what's worked really well. They know each
no,
other's
pattern. I'm not touching Gov and Wietering.
No, but Kemp's been the other one down there. So if you take Kemp out of there, then suddenly
Marchbank's is primarily a defender.
I know, but he's only but so is Kemp. But he's only been
he's the swing man. He's
well, not this year. Not this year. Not this year. We have developed
twos,
him.
Yes.
We have
twos,
developed
yes,
him this
seniors.
Year in the seniors as a defender, and yeah. he's and
okay.
he's. Well, so what I'm saying is, Marchbank is there's less of a jolt to what we've done all year. If it's Marchbank. Now, if it's Marchbank or Kemp, it doesn't really worry me. The theory is, I completely agree with you. I think that has we have to separate Lever and May, and we can't let Lever sag off and intercept.
Yeah.
And we need to make May accountable to Charlie, and I'm going to back Charlie to give Stephen May hell.
Mm.
Absolute hell.
He's ready to go.
He's ready to go. And all you and then, and what you're saying then is, so this is my point about, If with Brody Kemp, I'm not expecting Kemp to kick goals. I'm not even expecting him to kick a goal. But I'm telling the other blokes who were quiet on the weekend, Cunningham, Owies, Motlop, Fogarty, whoever, we need four out of you as a group, minimum.
Oh, there's no doubt.
Minimum. Mm. Now, this is what's happening. This bloke's not marking the footy. Lever is not marking the footy. So whenever you see you are getting sagging to him, don't even worry about Charlie because Charlie on the ground is going to give Stephen May hell. The minute the ball comes to ground, if Charlie's got room to work in, give him space because I think you'll turn poor old Stevie inside out. May's magnificent in the air and a brilliant defender, but I want everybody swarming at the feet of Jake Lever who will drag. Whoever's on him, he'll drag him into the contest because he's a ball pig. That's what he wants to do, Lever.
Mm.
So whether it's Kemp, whether it's Marchbank, whether it's Jack, whether it's Kennedy, whoever it is, whatever they devise, that has to be what was part of what we dish up.
So if you swing one of the backmen as we're suggesting forward, then you need to determine what part of the ground you want to impact with the next player coming in.
That's right.
So do you want to go full strength, small forward?
Yep.
And if you do, Durden comes into the picture for me.
He's not a chance.
Because
yep.
he gives you the option of being a high forward who participates in transition football and is a good user of the footy. His only downside is he probably doesn't get enough of it. But he does have the speed and ability to use the ball when he gets it.
But they must think that Motlop's going better than Durden at the moment. Otherwise, Durden would
Motlop's in. I'm not.
Oh,
I'm,
so you're not talking about
no,
Dow.
No, I'm adding.
Oh, okay.
I'm adding.
Yeah, no,
it's either
okay.
adding Durden or Dow or I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't think we have a short. If you bring Motlop in,
we have to.
We've got enough small forwards to mix and float around. I reckon.
I reckon that's their. I reckon if we're going to get them, it's forward line chaos. You know, like if we want to outscore them, we need to add to that sort of small forward setup. I'm just tossing up. Which is it? Is it that because we?
You'd have to take one off. You can't have them all in because none of them are genuine mids. They can't go in and play in the midfield.
For me, is the emphasis on transition between the arcs or on adding to the forward line combustion?
Well, the way footy works these days,
well,
isn't
well,
it?
Well, we're losing Harry and Martin, so we have to add to that forward line.
Yeah.
Absolutely have to.
So one feeds in. Everything's, you know, it's all simpatico these days, isn't it? You know, like one feed. None of them are islands. They're all feeding in.
Players suited to transition or players suited to forward line.
See, if what we're saying is whether it's McGovern, whether it's Marchbank, whether it's Kemp, whatever that situation is, if they go that way, well then Doc either becomes that seventh defender or they need to look at Boyd.
Yeah, well,
because they always go in with seven.
Boyd is an option.
So their forward line will be small.
Mm.
Theirs?
Yeah. They won't be bringing it all in. There's some speculation they're going to bring in that Daniel Turner, the kid who's played half a dozen games, so 194 centimetre. Mm. There's a bit of speculation that he might play, but
will
that's okay.
Will Grundy bring come in?
I would doubt it.
They've played that card. It doesn't work.
For our sake, I hope he does.
Yeah, me too.
Because he's not
so
a
So who have forward. They got? Fridge, McDonald. They got another tall?
Well, McDonald will be... No, that's it.
That's it.
Oh, and then, Smith. They got Joel Smith, the kid Smith.
Oh, yeah.
Who jumps pretty high. So we're going to need three down there. We're going to, you know, and Fritsch is the danger man, obviously, but, you know, we've just got to get...
Then they've got Neil Bullen.
Yeah, they've got all the little boys. So they
you,
might play...
Who would you line up on Fritsch?
Well, it's a good question.
I reckon Marchbank's the right guy for him, or would you go with Gov?
Well, I thought McGovern did... I thought McGovern did a real... I'm not sure you were all that big a rat for... I thought McGovern was... The reason Heaney didn't get a sniff was because McGovern, I thought, did a really good job. So,
okay, well, I didn't look at the matchup all that closely.
No, well, I do. So he's hot and cold. The thing about Fritsch is, look, he annoys you as an opposition player because there's something about him. But he's an old-fashioned forward. He knows how to get out the back. He knows where the seams are in the defence. He knows how to find space.
So who's the one that won't
let
him off the chain?
That's exactly right. Who's our most... Well, I don't think Newey...
I reckon Marchbank.
I think Newey will get Pickett.
He's the guy.
Well, it might be McGovern.
It needs to be somebody who is prepared to sacrifice... What A, can concentrate. Mm. You've got to concentrate on the spike. You've really got
exactly
to concentrate.
Exactly my point.
So, yeah, if McGovern's a bit of a ball pig, he wants to go after it a bit, and then maybe that's not the right
guy.
Maybe Kempe doesn't mind jumping for his marks.
Newman likes to go the ball.
I reckon Marchbank's
It's a crucial matchup. It's a crucial matchup. And watching Wietering the other night, Wietering was, I don't know whether he's been doing this all year, but I noticed it the other night. He was following his man up to sort of 50.
And then
he just doubled back. Yeah. Wietering, he'd let the bloke go. Yeah. So if
they
it was.
Put Parker on him in the last game.
Yeah. He just doubled back. He's happy to. If he's playing on McDonald, and McDonald wants to get up the ground and get outside 50 and get into a non-dangerous position, Wietering will just let him go and double back to the top of the square. So I think, and he's smart enough to play that. He's in terrific form and was in, you know, pretty good again the other night. What we're doing down there is, we absorbed enormous pressure after halftime. Mm. Now, it helped that they didn't score. They missed some opportunities. But this defence, it stands up. It stands up under pressure. They have proven time and again this year that when the momentum's against us, this back line doesn't crack. Yeah.
We were the fourth-rated defence.
It doesn't crack,
going
mate.
Into the last
in the first 13 weeks when we obviously weren't playing our best footy, we only, I think we only copped 100 points twice in that time. The next time was against GWS last game of the year, which, we sort of lost... We lost our minds in the last quarter a bit. We didn't really.
Oh, I think we were off that night.
But other than that, like, we've kept sides to 50, 60, 70 points.
Yep.
And generally speaking, I looked at the last three times we've played Melbourne. They've been close encounters, low scoring, and no one's really.
Well, Melbourne don't score. So you're
confident about that?
Well, they don't. They don't. They don't. They can't. I mean, they haven't been able. Now, that might break wide open one night. Petrarca might go forward and he might kick six. And where'd that come from,
Here's
right?
Another one.
Tom McDonald might have a day. Well, they've got players who can have a day.
McDonald's got a history against us.
He has got a history against us.
When Petrarca does go forward, they haven't got Brayshaw this week. So what's their midfield apart from Viney and Oliver?
Sparrow's a good player. They'll throw Rivers in there. Yeah. They've got a few. They might bring Spargo back into the side. They've got a few who they can roll through there. Neil Bullen can come in and do his little bit. But if they throw Petrarca forward, I want them to throw Petrarca forward.
It gives us an opportunity.
Bloody oath it does.
He's
one of the best midfield clearance players in the competition. So if you want to leave Viney and Oliver two out and you want to sacrifice because you need to plug a hole down there with your best player, go your hardest.
Big decision.
He might still beat us. Bloody oath it is. It's gigantic. Yeah. And he still might beat us.
What did you think about our midfield on the weekend? It was Walsh. I thought he was pretty solid.
Yeah. Walsh and Chera were both solid.
Walsh and Chera. And I thought even Hewitt went okay, but didn't really get... Not a lot of people have talked about his game. I thought he was solid enough.
Good.
Those three, particularly when they had to come... They had to bring it because, like, obviously in the first half, Cripps was getting well held. So if he's not up and going, it's good that we've got a midfield now that are prepared to do the heavy lifting. And I thought Hewitt was doing a fair bit.
Yeah,
of
I agree.
But I thought Walsh was.
No, Walsh is enormous,
Walsh
mate.
Was enormous.
No, he was. He was great.
I don't know if they do coaches votes for those sort
they
of
did,
matches.
They did, and I had a look. I didn't have a look at him today, but
he might not even be in there, was he?
Chera, I think I got him. I actually didn't have a look, so a bit.
And then we've got to roll a few through to Gex, as we were speaking about before. That centre clearance is pretty important for us. And
I'm massive on four-quarter impact. I just think it's so important that Dow is there for that last quarter impact because he's shown time and time again he is a massive factor at that stage of games.
Well, worst case scenario,
and we didn't have it.
You plug him in.
I know there weren't many stoppages last week because of the fact that we were toing and froing between the arcs too much, but it will be more so with Melbourne because they're a similar team. They back themselves in those situations. They'll create those situations with Gawn and their midfield group. We need impact at that in that forum, and I think Dow needs to be used because he's shown consistently that he is a four-quarter player, and that is massive for
us. So you're saying in the 22?
I think he needs to be probably sub.
Oh, well, yeah.
But definitely used at the right time of the game.
Absolutely.
Probably a quarter and a half, I reckon, and just let him go because he knows exactly what he needs to do.
I can definitely see a spot for him this week, particularly if we shift one of our defenders forward, which I'm not sure they're going to do, but if they decide to go that way, I have a feeling...
Well, they may not want to do it. For the seven thing that you're talking, the seven defenders every week, they might just go, nah. Yep. Nah, well, that works. Let's not tinker with that.
Well, that's going to be Sauce.
And you know what? Jack Silvani is, if he's right, if he's fit enough to get through four quarters, he is the right type
to play that
role.
No question about that. But I just think it's...
He's the perfect type to play that role.
It's the three-card trick to get sucked into.
No doubt about that.
So Port Adelaide are considering that this week with some of their players.
With Dixon. So you might say to him... Jack, you're our 2.5-quarter man. We need absolute full throttle, 2.5 quarters. Dowie, you're coming on at the. We'll adjust accordingly if we have to. But 20-minute mark of the third quarter, we want you to have done your job. We want to be four up, and we want to be able to bring you off gassed, and we want to bring Paddy on to just continue to keep our foot on their throat. So
it's going to be very interesting to see which way they go.
So there's all of that to think about.
Yeah, absolutely. Definitely.
And it's a really strategic selection, I think.
So do you think it's I'll look at the betting, I think it's about $1.72.15, whatever it is. So it's pretty
close. Should be favourite.
Yeah, yeah. I've got no issues with that. Yeah. But, you know, on the scale of 1 to 10, like, We're a live chance there, I think. Chance.
No, we match up very well.
Of course we are.
Couldn't declare them.
No, I'm not.
Both contested football teams, both got elite midfields, you know, both got strong back lines.
Declare us against Melbourne.
Yeah, you couldn't declare them?
No, I'm not declaring them. That's ridiculous thing to say.
Carlton here.
I'm declaring them.
You're an idiot. Don't be stupid. Don't declare
We've got a monkey off our back, but we're not.
I'm declaring.
We're not.
I won a premiership a couple of years ago. They just did. In the finals.
They did, and they went out in straight sets last year. So there's a lot of heat on them.
There's a bit of that.
I firmly believe. This is what I firmly believe. I think we've got one more big game in us, and I think it's this one.
Well, I hope you're right.
I think this is the one. Don't want to think too far ahead, but I think if we get over this mob, I think the week after might well be a bridge too far. I think it might have come to its tether. But this is, I feel we've got one more big one in us.
If Charlie gets on a roll this week, the sonic boom coming out of this.
I want to say something about it. It is
unbelievable.
So me and Gex are sitting level one, three from the fence. It was It was deafening.
So Craig McRae,
it was deafening.
You met him. Yeah. He does. He comes into SEN with us on the run home, and he talks all the time. Even when he's not even asked about it, he talks about the 19th man and the fans and the whole thing. So 92,000 there the other night. We're playing Sydney. So of the 92, I reckon conservatively 75,000 current supporters in the joint. So if you are, if you want to say that was the loudest crowd you've ever heard, it probably was. Because Collingwood's probably never had 75,000 in a stadium of their mob against an opposition. They didn't have 75,000 fans against Melbourne the other night. Against Melbourne the other night, because there would have been 40,000, 30,000 Melbourne supporters. So it actually stands to logical reason that there were more supporters in that ground supporting one team than has ever been seen before in the history of the game. And when when we kicked our second goal, oh, mate, I thought the roof, I could feel the joint was trembling.
You called that game with Sellers and Dom.
Yeah.
Could you hear it through the cans?
Oh, of course you could. It was an energy, mate. Yeah, it was a vibration. No question about it.
It was just, it was electric. It was like, I mean, I go back to that final that we played in Richmond, played against Richmond in 2013.
Yeah.
That was one of the loudest crowds I've ever heard. But it was from both sides.
That's right.
From both sides. Yeah. This was
lopsided. No, next level.
So what is it? Is it Carlton supporters who have just got so much inside them that they need to let go? Because we've had so much. I use the word misery or whatever
pent
you want to call
up,
it.
Yeah, pent up. Yeah, it's all coming out.
It's all just coming out, isn't it?
Yeah, of course.
And
it
they
is.
Are so, you know. But boy, oh boy, what did you think? So there was 1 minute to go, and we're two goals up, and I hear from someone. There's a minute to go. And then I looked at the bench and they hold up the 1 minute sign. I don't know if Gex remembers, but I go, Gex, a minute to go, two goals up. Surely we can't lose. Surely we can't lose this fucking
20,
game.
20 seconds later.
Bang.
Yeah.
Wiedering goes up.
Yep, through the hands.
Through the hands. Yep. Goes through Martin's legs.
Yep.
And they slip one in. And I look at the bench, right? And I see the 30-second sign go up.
Yep.
Fee's sitting next to me. She goes, Dad. 25 seconds. Okay, how do you know that? She goes, Mum's texting me. She's at home. I'm going, fuck. So I've just got hands in head.
Yeah,
here.
Of course, mate.
Hands in head. Yeah. You know, and I heard your call afterwards, but it was like all I wanted to see was ball straight down, boom, stoppage.
All on
That's
it.
All I wanted to see.
Yeah.
No.
And while she tries to hack it out of there.
No, the ball's got to flick out to someone. The ball's got to spit out.
Yep.
And it has to go forward, doesn't it?
Of course.
It wasn't forward, but it was.
Yeah, no, it was in the wrong direction for us.
It was going the wrong direction.
Yeah.
So all of a sudden, everyone's hearts are in their mouth.
Yep.
And they're all going, Newey takes the mark. We're all, yes! Yep. Yep. And then 2 seconds later, 1 second later, the siren goes, and then there's that second yes.
That's amazing.
Oh, man, you know. The emotion of this game is unbelievable, but it comes out even more when you followed a side who's been terrible for so many years, but we remember the power that it was. And it's all sort of – Gex, when we walked in the ground, you sat next to me and said, how surreal is this? I said, oh, mate, I spoke to Sam, his son, and just quietly, he's a gem, right? So take credit. He's a fucking gem, mate. Absolute gentleman. And I said to him, what do you reckon, Sam? And he goes, Baz. He goes, I can't fucking believe it. He goes, me and Dad were ready to pack it in. I said, I was ready to pack it in with Fee. So we got two couples there ready to pack the game in. And all of a sudden we're there together and experiencing what we experienced. Oh, man, this game, it's unbelievable.
So getting ready to not that I did any research, but to do the call with Wayne and Sellers, you know, Dom's played 210 games for Carlton. Sellers played 240 for Carlton.
Did Dom only play 210?
Oh, I checked the numbers. I don't know. I didn't even write it down at the end.
Okay.
They each played in 10 of the seasons they played at Carlton. They played in the finals. Dom played in 4, Sellers in 3. 10 years of their careers, they played in finals footy.
Wow.
I want to say so it was just a bit rude.
So it was just, yeah, we probably, you know, we had our ways and means back in those days. But But this is the whole point. That's when we were young supporters coming through the ranks, and we expect if we didn't play finals, it was like sack a bloke, go and spend $2 million in WA and get the four best players from South Australia to come.
78, just round seven, and 78, round seven, it's 1-6 or 1-5, bottom of the ladder, right? Turmoil. Get rid of Thorogood and Stewart. I think even Serge Silvani coached us one game that year. They put in the Messiah. Jezza goes in, bang, gets into the finals in 78. What happens in 79? Boom.
Yeah.
Win the flag. Unfortunately, couldn't win in 1980 because he left.
Sure.
And Peirce took over. Yeah. And they couldn't understand a word he was saying.
So times have clearly changed. Something I do want to say, I was watching this after the game. I don't know how many Carlton supporters saw this, but I saw it out the corner of my eye and I'm making a mountain out of a molehill, but we want to be Sydney. Sydney since 2003 has missed four finals. Yep. So they're us, that's right? They're not winning the flags that we won, but they're in there every year,
whacking away.
So since 2003, they missed four finals campaigns. They are a well-run club on and off the field. They get the best out of every player that comes into the joint, by and large, every player that comes into the joint. They develop their talent. They play away, and they get everything they deserve, Sydney. We beat them. We're out in the ground doing our thing, high-fiving one another, hugs, smiles, the whole thing. And it would have been easy to ignore Sydney as they walked off the MCG, beaten. Michael Voss, I don't know where he came from, but I noticed him while Sydney were about to exit the MCG. He walked back towards their race and stood about 20 metres off the Sydney blokes as they walked off the ground and just applauded them on his own. Wasn't surrounded by anyone, no other Carlton people around him. It's just him. Stood there on his own and watched them as they walked off the ground and just applauded them as they walked off. Mm. Now, he knows. That's who we want to be. Mm. That's the club we want to be.
Yeah, wow.
We don't want to get in there one year and then not be there next year. We want to be in there every...
You saw that, Andy? There was no vision of that? Or
no, I saw it.
Yeah, wow.
Hopefully someone's got some vision on it.
Yeah, that's really big.
Oh, I thought it was huge. And it was a little thing and...
Sydney are a great club.
Well, it's not like, a little thing, Andy.
You've got to learn from that little clubs like that.
No, I think it's quite big, actually. Mm. For your coach who could have,
been high-fiving every Carlton player.
He could have.
Signing, doing selfies in the crowd and everything.
He could have. But he decided, no. They deserve some accolades here, and they pushed us all the way.
And he's one of the all-time greats.
Yeah,
and,
absolutely. I heard what he said in the rooms afterwards. There was something on the website. He basically said the first half was all method, boys. Second half was all heart.
Yeah, yep.
It was just all heart. That's all it was.
So you got to learn to do it both ways, right?
Yep.
All right. Well, so 95,000 on Friday. It's going to be a different weather.
It's
26.
Shorts. Last week, I think I had thermals. I had two pairs of socks. Yep. I had jumpers. I had you name it. This week, I'll probably be in a mankini.
Best you don't. I reckon you can. What you and Jude get up
make
to?
Make sure you shave.
What you and Jude get up to at night time? I reckon you can leave behind closed doors. I don't think you need to be bringing that one out.
But I've got to say again, thanks again to Gange. You've got the tickets, mate. Not your fault, but
you probably don't need to be thanking him. You probably just thank him when you're speaking to him.
No, he likes
people are going, who's Gange?
And I know you don't have issues with this because you've got your press pass. But you know what? I just want to bring up one thing, and you won't even come into this conversation, but the members who pay good money to be, full members of their footy club, who expect, a decent seat at the footy to get, level four, up in the bleachers and all the rest of it. You know what I'm going to say? They've got to come up with a better system somehow. I know three game members who've got level one seats. It's extraordinary. Like if they cannot somehow put the level of membership in order as to how you get your seats in this modern era of technology, whatever, I don't know what's going on. Mm. But look, I know, Andy, it's not really a thing that we're going to, you know, but and it's not big.
No, everything you're saying is 100% spot on.
But it's just a joke.
It's a dog's breakfast.
It's an absolute joke.
You know, oh, the algorithms. We live by algorithms, you know. Yeah. Fuck the algorithms.
Yeah,
let's have some merit-based bloody decision.
We're in the ground. We're in the ground, but we're in the bleachers.
Yeah, no, it's... Yeah,
but it is what it is, you know. Yep. You, the good thing is we're in the ground and we're going to see another Carlton victory, boys.
Yep.
I'm telling you, I'm declaring them.
I hope he's right, Kick Man. I hope he's
right. Does that mean we're back next week?
Oh, well, you're going to declare that as well, eh?
No, I can't declare anything. But we could be. But, yeah, it's been a fantastic ride, hasn't it? Like,
it's awesome.
We needed this.
No, it was important to get – I think having the win was important. It's you know, there were a lot of people wanting to see us fall over in this, a lot of non-Carlton supporters who were very keen to see the bubble burst first up and – have a good old laugh at our expense, and
you did your best to set yourself up.
Well, you know, it's not my decision.
Public face, bloody.
I know it's
promoting yourself and staging yourself up on the platform again.
Oh, it's not me doing that.
I know, but you're just there every year. I mean, I wish you'd just somehow find a way to be anonymous and quiet.
Are you talking about the call that he did?
Yeah, like same call, same place, same time, and you just waiting.
I tell
for
you
the
what,
knock.
Andy, like you. Not because you're my mate, but you do a damn good job. You do a damn good job. I would have liked to have actually listened during the game, but I can't do that. I've just got to watch the game.
Yeah.
That's what I do. But afterwards, I saw all the highlights, and I was just fucking, you know, I've sent it to everyone, mate. It's everyone I know that's Carlton support. I've sent it to everyone, and they just write back and say, like, how fucking good is it?
No, the joy, it's funny. Like, it's such a silly thing, right? The bias.
It is
calls.
Very silly.
It's a really silly thing. It's the way they do it overseas, by the way. Like, they all have their city-by-city broadcast days. But,
it couldn't come in here, Andy, could it?
I think it will. I think you'll see it spasmodically. Like, okay. For the big games. Carlton, Collingwood, Carlton, Essendon, Carlton, Richmond. I'm sure we'll do something like that around here. Melbourne's doing one this week, for example. So there's the Carlton-Melbourne ones happening again this week. So it's absolute silliness. But in the wake of winning the game, you're talking about I can't believe the joy that people are getting out of it. Like, I don't know how many people...
It becomes a time capsule.
Well, that's
too,
right. So I don't know how many people listened to it at the time. Probably not that many. But subsequent to the game, when people would just want more, give me more.
Yeah.
Give me more of what happened. Wow. They just want more.
When
and that
watch,
becomes
when
part
you go
of
home
it.
And watch a replay, you want to sync that up and, and
well,
watch
that,
it with
yeah.
that.
Well, you said that, didn't you?
Yeah, I wanted to do
you
that.
You said that.
It would be great to be able to do that. So
it's funny,
not because but who in whoever you're barrack for, you know.
Yeah.
Well, because we watch the game the way we watch the game.
Yeah. Well, that's what I get out of it. That's what I get out of it is that...
You're not calling the game.
Nah.
We're sitting there going, if you're listening,
you're only watching blokes without jumpers.
You've got no idea where the ball is if you're listening to our call.
The Tommy one. Come on, Tony.
Stretch.
And then
it's a blur.
Who did you call? You got a nickname for one of those blokes, aren't you?
Oh.
Martin.
All right.
Come on, Jumbo.
Huh?
Jumbo.
I don't know. I didn't say Jumbo. I never said the word Jumbo. I said the word Jumbo for 5 years until right now.
I'll listen back to it.
Okay.
But, you know, when Akers kicks the goal, you bloody rip snorter. Now, rip snorter. You don't hear anyone saying rip snorter. You know, but that's him. You know what I mean? That's him. That Shags and Cocko. And that's him. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's great to hear it as raw as it is. It's just awesome. Fee sends that to her fiancé, Hayden, Bulldog supporter. Sorry, Hayden, didn't make the finals this year. Couldn't do the right thing by you. Last year we did. So he's watching it. I go, what? You serious? She goes, yeah. He's watching it and he's crying.
he knows how much it means to...
But he loves it.
He knows how much it means to Fee, so...
No, but know. I think... I know he's watching your call.
Yeah, but he knows...
Yeah,
how much it means to Fee. That's why
he
loves you. He loves your daughter, and you know he's that's why he's feeling it.
Yeah, but I think it was the call that he got emotionally involved in the call. And he just went, it's unreal.
Yeah, no.
So it's good. you did a really good thing. It was great. I enjoyed it. I'm pretty pity I didn't listen to it live. I think there was I did see geeks. There was actually two spare seats next to him.
Oh, no, there's room up there.
There's room up there.
It's a good spot.
Wow. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
Mm.
There's actually room up
yeah,
there.
Yeah, you know.
Bit of expert commentary.
Well, I mean, geez, we do a podcast. What, you reckon he couldn't slip us in there?
I did actually mention that you two blokes should do it with me, but then they thought Johnson and McClure might just have you covered.
For the well, GF, I think they've got us covered in terms of their...
In some aspects.
they're giants of the game, but hey,
we'll wait for the GF.
Oh, that's
we'll just do
yeah,
one.
Yeah, right. Come up and give us a quarter.
Oh, beautiful.
Well, let's hope we're there. Let's hope it becomes an issue. Bags, thanks for the stone and wood. You're a beautiful man.
No, drones, boys. It's good to get back and into it. You know, we missed out on a few years there because of COVID, and whether it becomes a regular thing again, who knows? But I've enjoyed, you know, seeing you blokes for a couple of weeks. You know, we don't get to see each other.
No,
you know, we're all
don't.
Busy with families and all the rest of it, but. I love it. I absolutely love it because it was something we started, kind of got taken away from us a little bit, and then things just run away from us. But, you know, and we weren't really weren't talking a lot about the Carlton Footy Club in a positive mode.
Yep.
We're trying our best. We were trying our best under circumstances. But now, you know, the wheels have turned. The dark days are over. Sustainability, that's what it's all about
yep.
now. I don't want them to dip their toe in the water and then all of a sudden next year we don't make the eight. You know, that would be a disaster for us. They've got that taste is there. They've got to bottle it and they've got to just grow with it and, you know, build on the list and build on what they do during the off months and come back bigger and better than ever.
Well, let's hope we've all got another game to look forward to after this Friday night, the week after.
I'm declaring them if you haven't.
You've already said that three times now. good to see you. Good to see you. Thanks for listening. May the best team win, but may that be Carlton.
Okay,
bye for now.
Ciao.